Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Good morning, everyone. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, and you do not have to turn there, but Jesus is explaining to the people on the Mount, or as he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, that he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but he came to fulfill them. What exactly does that mean? I'm not going to be explaining what that means today. I'm going to carry that down to another step, because Jesus came to fulfill what we would call the Old Covenant Law, and there's more to it than that. So how do you fulfill anything? How do you fulfill a contract? How do you fulfill a promise to someone? Let me give you an example based on my own experiences in the United States Navy. I signed up for the Navy September 12th of 1963. I was relieved from my duties in the Navy on September 11th, 1967, a full 4 years from one date to the other. By doing that, you take an oath at the recruiter station, you sign an agreement that you're going to remain in the Navy for 4 years. When the 4 years is up, your contract is fulfilled. You have nothing else to do to fulfill that contract. You put your 4 years in, it is done, ended. The Navy releases you from your duty. So my job there was finished. I had completed my tour of duty, and I was allowed to return home. That was a big day, getting out of the service. I liked the Navy very much, but if they weren't so petty about certain things, I might have stayed in longer. But anyhow, at that point, I no longer had an obligation to the Navy. My contract was fulfilled. Looking at Webster's New World Dictionary, it gives the following definitions of fulfill. First one is to carry out something promised. Okay, I did that. I promised I'd be in for 4 years. I stayed in for 4 years. It is to do something required and to obey. Now, that's an interesting one, because when you join the service, any branch, you don't really know what you signed up for. You don't know what you're going to get into. You might be assigned to Timbuktu. You might be assigned to Philadelphia. You just don't know. But whatever they tell you, you have to do, you have to do it. You must obey all the commands that anybody in the position of authority tells you. Number three is to fulfill the requirements of, or to satisfy a condition. Okay, and you can see that's carried out by you spending the amount of time in there that you were given to do in the requirements. Excuse me, could be go to this naval station, go on this ship, be on that ship for 6 months or a year. So whatever they have required of you, you must do, and that satisfies that condition. Fourth and last is to bring to an end. I mean, you just keep doing this forever and ever? No, there's an end to it. And the end is when your contract is up. So in my case, it was 4 years, and I completed that tour of duty, and my service was over. Now, with that background of Navy time and Webster's definitions of fulfill, let's see how a Christian, a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ, can fulfill the law. Okay, if you would turn to Romans 13, we're going to look at verses 8 through 10. Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Paul writes, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. How is that possible? Well, let's continue on and see what else Paul had to say. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever commandments there may be. Obviously, he didn't list them all, so he's saying whatever commandments there are, they are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So two times in three verses, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, this is how you fulfill the law: by loving one another, carrying one another's burdens. And there are more examples coming up ahead. Okay, turning to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Pretty much the same theme, but a little bit different. Galatians 5, 13 and 14, Paul writes, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself." Now, when I first start getting into the idea of how important love is, John, I went to the, I think it was 1 John. He talks a lot about love also. And at the end of studying John's epistles, I got to thinking, if people were to look at that today, in the way that churches are organized today, including the so-called worldly churches, which may or may not be, I thought maybe John was really the first true Protestant, because to him, love was so important that basically all he wrote about. Then when I read these things that Paul had written, I thought, well, maybe Paul was the first Protestant, if you will. Kind of interesting to me that love plays such an important part. Now, in addition to these thoughts that Paul had written, Jesus taught us to love the brethren, to love our fellow man, to love our enemies, love those that persecute you, love those who do not love you. And the only thing that could mean is, you must love every other human being on the planet. And nobody is. And I thought about this while I was driving down. I said, everyone, I don't know if I could love extremist Islam, people who tolerate that or promote that. They're so against Christians that they're willing to kill them and think they are doing God a favor. Can I really love them? Right now the answer is I don't know. Obviously, it's something I'm going to have to work on, because it's only going to get worse. And one last thought before I return to my seat, because I will have fulfilled my obligation giving you a sermon hit. Since God is love, we too must become love. Why? Because love is the fulfillment of the law.